Yes, you are now listening to the sound of Sports Reports as ordered. We back in the building, the playoffs are on. Can Houston force a game 7? We gonna talk about it. The Lakers are at home. I'm happy. We gonna talk about it. Shout out to Julius Randle for doing all the great things. But of course, I'm not alone. I got the one and only, the world famous, the world renowned, born in Texas, raised in VA, representing New Jerusalem. I didn't look up a fact today, but what he told me was New Jersey would have out-thugged and got rid of Detroit in 4.
Absolutely.
He
old
is.
School New Jersey Nets.
Mr. Logical.
ABA style.
Don't bring feelings to a fact fight.
Don't do it.
And of course, it's me, your unorthodox statistician, coming to you live from the Alamo, going left so much you thought I was southpaw. Ryan Garcia should have done that. But anyway, I am 2-5. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate, do all the free things. Do all the good things and take you a sip of the liquid death. Yes. So, Mr. Logical.
I'm listening.
I was talking to somebody earlier, one of our Hot Box brethren, and the newest edition, and he was telling me, nah, man, the Lakers were supposed to at least make the Western Conference Finals. And I said, you are, and la, la, la.
Great movie. Shout out to Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
And I told
but it's
him,
a movie. It's a movie.
And I told him, the only reason that you and a lot of other people thought that the Lakers were going to make a run is because you were looking at names and nothing else. It's the same thing that has plagued the Lakers since LeBron has been there. Now, granted, they did win the title in 2020, so let's remember that before I go any further. But, you know, it was the same thing, right? You could have got somebody young and dynamic. You could have got somebody that a defensive stopper. You need shooters. What did you do? You went and got Russell Westbrook. And then proceeded to blame him for everything that went wrong with that team when the team was flawed. Like, you were even talking about, why is Pelinka still there? Like, he need to go now.
Yeah, so Pelinka should have been gone.
Yeah, so then Luka falls into his lap. You know what I mean? And the problem that I saw outside of J.J. Redick just being a young coach and doing some very questionable things is that this is the part where I make Mr. Logical kind of upset. I've compared LeBron James to Peyton Manning for years. They know how to play how they know how to play. So, and they're great at what they do, so you don't try to change them too much. They're the machine. They're the system. But when you got a guy like Luka, who's used to being that same thing, it just kind of, the wires get crossed from time to time. And while you're doing this and things are going bad, LeBron is a very demonstrative, frustrated person.
Great word. I love that word.
Luka is the same thing. So if I'm another Laker, a role player, a Rui, if you will, if I miss this shot, y'all going to blame me. The fans going to say I need to be traded. All this stuff. You going to miss the shot, and we just let it slide. You're going to walk down the court. You're going to give up the fast break because you're talking to the ref. And then here we are. These things happen in a vacuum, and the Wolves walk out in 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's dead on. That's literally, it's dead on. Like I said, I had picked the Lakers to win in 6 just because I thought the jump shooting role players would hit enough shots considering that their only requirement, like I said, the 4-for-9 conundrum. I just was like, can you go 4-for-9 of your 9 opportunities? Because you're going to be open. LeBron's going to draw attention. Luka's going to draw attention. Even when LeBron was taking his offensive breaks to go on his defensive spurts, because like people talk about game 4, that was one of those games. He was like, listen, I'm getting every loose ball. You see him dive on the ground and roll on Ant's ankle. He was getting the deflections. He was getting the blocks. He went for the defensive play that ultimately was reversed and turned into a foul. But he spent that whole second half basically like, listen, I'm playing the whole second half. I can't put up 12 shots. Mm-hmm. I gotta use this energy defensively. And he was doing it well. Austin Reeves couldn't hit the ocean if he fought for both. Rui wasn't playing well. Gabe Vincent, once again, is a non-factor. He was probably, if you're going to sign anybody from that Miami team that made the finals, they probably should have gone for Strus, a bigger shooter that at a minimum, if he's not hitting shots at 6'7", you know, I think Strus is probably like 6'5", six, somewhere in 6'5", 6'7" range. Mm-hmm. At least you could put him out there defensively. Where Gabe Vincent, if he's not hitting shots, he's of no use to you on the defensive end. Because he's not getting anything going through the hoop. He's not a dynamic on-the-ball defender in the pick and roll. So it's like they had a lot of gaps. And then I knew, like, they didn't have a big. I'm like, they don't have a big. But you can combat Rudy Gobert by just bringing Jackson Hayes out of the paint and have him flashing and catching lobs. But when they stopped playing Jackson Hayes, I was like, so this, none of this makes any sense. So I think, and there was video of LeBron like dancing with like 4 minutes left. Even in bad times, it's like even like I remember one time my military career, I got in trouble for something, and I knew it was going to be like, it's going to be a decent deal. But I was like, I remember I was sitting in my car at the stoplight. I was listening to, I think I had a Drake track on. And I remember just thinking like, yeah, this is happening. This isn't going to go my way. I'm going to have to regroup. This is my smile through the pain moment. And I think LeBron just was like, yeah, he was probably thinking like, it's not worth playing another game. And you could call it quitting or whatever else you want to call it, but it's like, it's a wrap. We can't get anything going. I can't play my style. I can't sag off. I got to do everything. And it's like, nah, this is not the move.
Right. And I don't want to do the Wilt Chamberlain thing. So I'm just going to say Moses Malone instead. So you decided not to play Jackson Hayes. And the problem is that JJ Redick said it before a game publicly. So when you're getting busted, you can't just come back and be like, all right, Jackson, I need you, because you didn't already told the public that he's not going to play. So Mr. Logic,
I don't know the public since that point. If I thought he was going to give me a better chance to win, I would have gone with it. But I think they just kind of knew collectively that it was a wrap.
Right. And this is the thing, Mr. Logic, because you know I like the stats. Rudy Gobert in game 5, 27-24, right? Coming into that game,
Those are like front court stats for multiple players.
Right. The previous four games of that series, he was averaging 3.5 points and 6 rebounds. He had a total of 14 points and 25 rebounds before that game in the previous four games.
Once he got to 8 points and 8 rebounds, I would have put a big in.
Who?
Jackson Hayes.
Like at that point, just you might as well put LeBron on him. At that point, you know what I mean. Yeah. Then on top of that, you know, LeBron, 2 for 9 in the fourth quarter in this series. You know, I mean, in the last two games of that series in the fourth quarter, and it goes back to they lost that series the moment that JJ Redick said, "I'm not subbing anybody."
Yeah,
that's when it was over. He laid it all on the line in a non-closeout game. And look, right, I was talking about this the other day. You could bring Gabe Vincent in for about 3 minutes. Leave LeBron on the floor, you know, but take Luka out, put Gabe in. Take LeBron out for 3 minutes, put Finney Smith in.
The NBA TV television timeout breaks, reviews, flagrant foul reviews, all of these things are built in for everyone to get breaks. The refs, the commentators, the researchers, everyone gets an opportunity to get a break. You get the people on the floor to do the dunks or the contest. Everybody gets a break in this game. It's built into the fabric of the game. You know when the TV timeout is coming up. So the possession or two before that, call a timeout or on a foul. You know what? Even bring Luka and LeBron off. I'd rather take both of them off for a couple of minutes, get the TV timeout, get that minute, and give them like 7 or 8 real-life minutes for both of them on the bench, come up with their game plan, sit, break, think it through, and let these other guys like Austin Reeves run the offense, Rui's out there, Finney Smith, Jackson Hayes, and maybe Gabe Vincent. Yes, it is not the prime lineup, but nobody's bench is full of superstars. And for some reason, over the last few years, the Lakers have seemed to miss the boat on developing depth and developing confidence with that. That was like, you don't get confidence playing with LeBron. You get knowledge, and if he gives you the ball back and you knock down the shot, but I need to be able to show what I can do with these guys on the bench. Since LeBron's gotten there, I don't think the Lakers have even tried to bring in a guy that could run the second unit. I know they tried it with Westbrook, but Westbrook is inherently a starter.
Right.
They don't have – like, I know Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams and, you know, guys like that are, like, the quintessential six man. But there were guys out there available in conversation in free agency where you could have put them in with the second unit and made it work. And they never did it, to the point where every coach that's been hired and fired, they don't have any tape that they can go to of a type of lineup that you can use when LeBron's on the bench. It just doesn't exist. Not a successful one anyway.
And that's the other problem playing with a guy like LeBron. And I don't mean this as a knock to LeBron. I just mean it as that's what happens. You know, young players don't generally get a lot of play because when you have LeBron James on your team, it's championship or bust most years, if not every year. So I can't afford to let Max Christie develop. I can't afford to let Dalton Connect develop because that's taken away from what we need to do in the ultimate goal. So Max Christie, you know, wasn't getting playing time in LA, went to Dallas. He was out here scoring 17 points, hitting four threes in a game. And it's like, guess what the Lakers need? More shooting. You know, like you had it
Dalton
in your
Connect could literally get, I don't care if
the I wonder if they're going to trade him because of what happened. Like, is he just not mentally there?
I don't think it's a mental thing. I think he has a stubborn coach. And okay. I think he has a stubborn coach and a demanding leader on his team.
Dickhead coach, too.
And then JJ's always been like, I mean, he's just that part of Virginia Breeze, those kind of guys. Like those arrogant.
Plus he went to Duke, too.
And he went to Duke. So he's from like the Charlottesville area. Probably came up with a little bit of money.
He's from Jews Will Not Replace Us.
Yeah, but those dudes weren't from Charlottesville. They went to Charlottesville because it's like they know guys like J.J. Redick are from Charlottesville. They didn't go to Richmond. They didn't go to Newport News with those fucking tiki torches because it's easier to get there. It is easier to get to Richmond, Newport News, Williamsburg, Hampton. It's easier to get there from anywhere in the East Coast because 95 runs right through there.
Yeah,
they went to the middle of the goddamn mountains where it's like a bunch of dudes that wouldn't really fight back, and that's why they did that. So, yeah, so he's from that block. Right. Yeah, so I think, yeah, LeBron didn't do himself any favor by not hitting any shots. I thought he would be better at scoring, and people say, oh, all this Minnesota defense. I think they just missed shots. They needed something that looks a little bit like what Cleveland does, what Boston does, even hell, what Orlando does. Bring in other guys and let them specialize. Don't connect. Cal Korver has made an entire NBA career from coast to coast, standing in the corner, shooting threes, catching threes off pick and roll, off down screens, catch and shoot. He's made a whole career out of it. I don't know what his defensive rating. I don't know what his defensive rating is. I don't know if he has any blocks or any dunks in his career.
He don't have no steals.
Not a steal.
But he's eighth all-time in three-pointers.
He might have 77 assists total in his 15 years, but he played that many years doing what he specialized in. It's like you had an iteration of him sitting on the bench and didn't use it because you want him to do something else. Listen, just be tall. You're 6'7". Just be in the passing lane. Close out on the shooter as near as you. And then when you get the ball, don't dribble it. Get the screen, shoot the three. Dalton, I give you 9 threes. Can you give me the Hauser? Can you give me the Pritchard numbers? Can you go 4 for 9 from 3? Can I get 12 points and a couple of rebounds out of you in a game? That's all I need.
And as you would say, and it probably don't sound right when I say it, let's keep it a bean. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're relying on a 40-year-old to give Herculean efforts
in the first
your
round
prospect to win championships. You know what I mean? Because Luka was doing his thing from an offensive standpoint, not efficiently, but, you know, he had a 38-point game. He had a 37-point game, you know. But the problem is that
he had to make a lot of dribbles and a lot of step-back threes to make those numbers look that way.
And he can't, like, he's in that same boat as LeBron and Peyton Manning that I brought up earlier. He plays the way that he plays, you know, but he can't play that way with LeBron because, like, LeBron is effective at cutting to the basket. He doesn't do it enough for me, but he's effective at it. Luka doesn't even try it.
Unless the play actually calls for it. But I think, and they talked about that when the trade was made, can Luka play with LeBron? Like, I think LeBron could, because, like I said, I'm pretty sure LeBron is all good with taking, if I could take a break offensively and these guys play four on four, because you're not going to leave them open. You're still going to put a good defender on them. Either, if it's not a great defender, it's going to be a big defender. It's going to be Julius Randle. It's going to be Ant. You're going to put somebody over there. If it's not a story, if it's not one of the Thompson twins, it's Cade Cunningham or Dylan Brooks. You're going to put a big body on LeBron anytime him and Luke are on the floor. And
speaking of which, if the Thompson twins ever learn how to shoot, the NBA in trouble.
Yeah, they better work on it. but yeah, so that's the piece. So it was, I don't know if they came up short. I think they just lost. I think anyone who had Western Conference, like Western Conference aspirations for the LA Lakers this year, they are just, they're, like you said, they're in La La Land because it just, they didn't have enough. Who is Minnesota's second round opponent? Is going to be OKC?
It's going to be the winner of this series.
Golden State and Houston?
Yeah. That Houston series is going to be like ridiculous if that happens. Like the defense in that series is going to be off the chain. You might have 81-79.
Maybe Ben Wallace might show up to the game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Tayshaun Prince might block something. You know what I mean?
Why are the Detroit Pistons here watching this game? Like, oh, this kind of game we like to watch, coach.
I don't know if Golden State has the guns to keep up with Minnesota, which is weird to say because they got the ultimate gun, right? But, you know, with that hand the way that it is right now, and Dylan Brooks and Amen keep swiping it at every chance they get, there ain't enough rest for whenever this series ends for Steph to get it right. But Mr. Logical, in other LA news, we got us a game 7 tomorrow night. The series that I said was going 7, that I picked the Clippers to win. So let me do the stat thing real quick. James Harden, last night he was awesome. He has 26 career playoff games where he has more turnovers than field goals. I don't even know how that's possible for a player of his level. Yes, he has more turnovers than he has made shots in 26 playoff games within his career.
That's crazy. Because I think you got to make the playoffs a lot for that stat.
I mean, he's made a couple of Western Conference Finals runs and, but on top of that, Denver needed 43 points from Jamal Murray a couple of nights ago. You know, they needed a buzzer beater that they couldn't replicate again if you gave him 1,000 chances to do it. You know, the problem is with Denver is the Laker problem, you know, to some degree. They only play 6 or 7 dudes. So you got Jokic out there for whole second halves. And
yeah, but there's 6 or 7 dudes fit.
They do. What up, Mike?
There's 6 or 7 guys that they have fit in all 5 spots in the starting lineup. So just a little
check out that One Mike podcast, y'all. Mondays and Thursdays, noon.
Yeah, but they fit. Yeah, it would be wise to play 8 to 9 guys if you could, but.
Well, this is the problem.
At least Aaron Gordon plays effectively from where he is. Michael Porter Jr. plays effectively. And then Jamal Murray, you said they needed 43 points. They got 43 points from Jamal Murray. That's the difference. It's like some teams need to get.
That's funny.
They need their role player to step up. Denver actually has shown, and I think they're I want to call them role players. They're other guys besides Jokic, because Jokic averages 10 plus assists. So those guys are still hitting shots. You know, so if he's not on, but Jamal Murray, you know, playoff Jamal, it goes all the way back to the bubble.
18 points in the regular season, 24 in the playoffs for his career.
So, like, I think this series, like I said, I picked Denver in six. Russ needs to either just learn to slow down so he create contact and maybe get the and one, because I think sometimes he's still too damn fast.
You know, every time
he wants to beat you to the rim, it's like, nah, just get to a good spot to where you can calmly go up this layup, get these points.
So every time Russell Westbrook lines up for a jumper, I go, what are you doing? When he goes to the basket, I say, from now on, that's how you drive.
But then he blows layups at the end of games.
The layup. I swear, him and LeBron blow more layups than any star I've ever seen. You know, those two, like, blow all kinds of I mean, granted, LeBron probably gets fouled a lot, but they blow a lot of layups. But Jokic last night, 2 for 9 in the second half. You know who was guarding him last night in the second half?
The guy that used to be a Laker.
Yep, the guy that used to be. Look, well, no, it wasn't Zubac. It was Batum that was guarding him most of the second half. And the problem is it goes back to what I always say. He's tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I know that Jokic is not an old man. He's not LeBron's age. But we forget they've played 82 games before we got here. You know what I mean? And a lot of those times, we see the numbers all the time. Look at Denver when he's on the floor. Look at Denver when he's off the floor. You know, so this is the problem. Let's just say Denver wins tomorrow night. Let's just say that happens. I'm taking OKC in game one by 25, because that's going to be a tired team going into a boring-ass state like Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, at least they'll get some sleep.
Yeah, like OKC is going to bust that ass in game one if it's the
but Nuggets. I think OKC is going to beat everybody over the head anyway, because we talked about the lack of fit with the Lakers. We talk about a better fit with Denver. But Jokic's on the bench, it causes them problems. Anybody matching up with OKC is going to be like, everybody that comes on the floor knows exactly what their role is, and their role benefits them. I don't think there's a guy on OKC that checks in, that goes to the scoring table and he's playing a role that doesn't benefit him. Because sometimes we talk about, oh, this is your role. You know, we talked about it with LeBron and Kevin Love and Chris Bosh. It's like, yeah, this is your role. But it's like, if Chris Bosh could have gotten his 24 and 16, and if Kevin Love could have played the way where he got his 24 and 15 the way he was getting in Minnesota, it's a different story. I think LeBron probably could have chilled more, because I think LeBron can get 27 points if he says, hey, man, for the next 4 minutes, the next 5 possessions, I'm taking everything to the cup. I'm thinking he's getting 8 points, because he's going to get fouled once or twice in those possessions. Might get an open three, a dunk, whatever the case. So I think LeBron can get his 8 points per quarter if they just say, you know what, for these next 4 possessions, I'm going to do this. And then you let these other guys play their role. Shea does that. So because Shea is there one-on-one, I can dribble the air out of the ball if I want to get my points. Whereas everybody else understands, cool, I'm going to get in position defensive rebound, or I'm going to be here for this pick and roll, and I'm good with that. Like, I'm good with doing that. Chet's going to get his open looks. Hartenstein's going to be able to get his shots off, rebound, kick out, hard screens. It seems like everybody's doing what they want to do. Michael Porter Jr. is a shooter, but every once in a while, it's like, hey, man, can you get us some rebounds? And it's like abnormal. He can physically do it, but that's not the role you expect him. And I think OKC, all their guys are just in roles that work for them, and that's going to be the ultimate difference. So even with all the names that are going to come through there and people think OKC is boring, it's like, yeah, they got 8 or 9 dudes that know exactly what they're doing for 48 minutes.
You know, they always make the comments about, like, I don't think he loves football, or I don't think he loves basketball. That's how I feel about James Harden sometimes. Like, you know, last night, you know, he took 20 shots. You know, saying Cason Wallace, UK baby. You know, saying Isaiah Joe went to Arkansas. You know, but no. So Harden last night took 20 shots, 20 shot attempts. The previous 5 games, this is how it went. In game 1, he took 22 shots. Then he went 17, 14, 11, and 9. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Unless they're overthinking the game plan, which is something that I think teams do when they need to mask issues that they have. Shea is not going to have a game where he only takes 11 shots. He barely has a game where he takes less than 11 free throws.
He won by 30.
Yeah, that means he sat the whole second half because at halftime the score was 84 to 39 at halftime. Some crazy 75 to 39 at halftime. He didn't take a lot of shots.
So we got 86 to 84 Rockets at the end of the third. So we're 12 minutes away from another game 7. But look, Mr. Logical, I believe in God. I don't think people would ever say that I'm religious, but I feel the need to pray. The Knicks are about to get sprayed all over the Atlantic Ocean.
The Knicks are the Buffalo Bills.
No, they don't even know if they're that. Buffalo at least made it to the Super Bowl a couple of times.
not as far as like how far they progress, but how good they look as like, just if you just look at the Knicks, they play very well together. They play hard. The fan base is dynamic. New York is crazy when the Knicks are good. And it's like, no matter what, you can't beat the next team to get to, because at this point, this Knicks team making the Eastern Conference Finals would be the equivalent of the Buffalo Bills making the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It's like getting over that next hump. Your fans love you. The media loves you. We love your star player. We love your coach. I mean, McDermott doesn't really get a lot of heat, but he's not a cat. Like, people want to get rid of Brian Daboll. Like, people, like, they can see why he would get fired. People are like, we get it. But McDermott, me and you go back and forth every year. It's like, listen, what are you going to get if you try to replace a guy that's, they come up short, but are you going to go get some guy who's never done it before and that guy's going to get that team over the hump? It's just unlikely. People love Tibbs. The Knicks fans are nuts when the Knicks are winning. They were talking about the Knicks when I went to the Yankee game a few weeks ago. Like New York is ablaze when the Knicks are good. It's just that Boston does what they do so well, and they've never, over the last, since Tatum's gotten there, so you got the Boston three party. They had a little trail off, but they made the trade, got everybody out to Brooklyn. They use all those pieces. I don't think Boston really had like a down year where it's like they looked like completely discombobulated for multiple years. And then they got Jason Tatum because all these deals that Danny Ainge made, and they were immediately, you know, back in leading the Eastern Conference. So what they're doing now is just, it's just like an old boxer in the gym and the young guy wants to come in and he's like, listen, man, I'm telling you, all I'm going to do is jab you and throw right hooks. I'm letting you know that's what you're getting. I'm going to give you a double jab and a right hook.
That's so you were watching Raleigh earlier.
I'm letting you know, as soon as this bell ring, this is what I'm going to do. And then the young guy's like, yeah, I see you. And he gets that boom, boom, hook, boom, boom, hook. And he just moves, boom, boom, hook. And it's like, I'm working my ass off here. I'm running hard. I'm playing hard. I'm doing the thing I can. It was like, Boston, listen, we're so accustomed to do what we're doing here. There's nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. I'm taking Boston in 5. You know what I mean? It might as well be 4 because the Knicks haven't even beat them this year. But, you know, like, you know, they always talk about football, you know, it's a 60-minute sport. You know, it's a 60-minute game. Detroit lost this series in about 5 or 6 minutes out of the whole series. You know, there were at least three games that Detroit was up in the fourth quarter late, and the Knicks just came storming back, to include the closeout game. They came back, got a 7-point lead, and just fell apart. And you know, and look, cover your ears, Mike, because, you know, look, I know that when Cleveland let B.J. Bickerstaff go, I was like, why? Like, why? Like, you know, he's taking a team that shouldn't be nowhere near where they are and have them looking like a threat. So then as I was watching that game last night, there was about half the fourth quarter where I was just scanning the floor. And I said, where the hell is Malik Beasley? He wasn't on the floor. Like, you know, and I'm looking at this. He hit the second most three-pointers in the league this year. He was 6 for 13 in that game from three. And he sat out probably 8 or 9 minutes of that fourth quarter last night. Then I was looking around, right? And so I was like,
game plan versus what you actually do.
I said, where's my guy at? Where's my guy? Because I actually like Asar better than I'm in. I was like, where's my guy? Bro, in this series, Asar Thompson. Now, mind you, Asar Thompson is the guy that is probably best equipped to guard Jalen Brunson. Minus that last second shot last night, you know what I'm saying? Because Jalen got that one off, and he ain't need to push off like 23 did.
I think he got him in his gut a little bit.
But the point being, Asar was playing 23 minutes a game in this series. He's the best Jalen Brunson defender you got. Whenever Jalen Brunson's on the floor, he needs to be on the floor.
Yeah, face guarding him.
He needs to be on the floor. And, you know, the other thing, Mike, that, you know, that we haven't really talked about, they didn't have Jaden Ivey either. So if you're Detroit, there's no reason to feel down right now. There's no reason to – I mean, it sucks, right? Like, you know that you let the series slip through your hands.
Correct.
But you know that you're here now. You know, because the Knicks before the season had
– Game one would have set the tone. If they could have held on in game one, I think – like I said, I know the Knicks fans are nuts, but that would have been – like, yo, are you serious? We came up short and didn't make the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And now we come out, and now the resurgent Detroit Pistons come into Madison Square Garden and take his game one. And they were dominating that game.
Yeah.
Up until that 21-0 run, where it was like they just stopped protecting the rim. Josh Hart had like four layups uncontested at the rim on back cuts.
And the Rockets are up by eight.
So. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, the Knicks.
No.
Be honest, Detroit. No, I think Detroit's fine. I think Detroit is more likely to get. I think they're probably maybe they talk to the Lakers to get Dalton Connect and just get another shooter.
And you also got to remember too, outside of Jaden Ivey not being there, we got to remember Beef Stew didn't play after game one. You know, so one of their best rebounders was gone too. And, you know, and the crazy thing about it, let me talk about old pussy for a second. I mean, kitty cat. Let me talk about kitty cat for a second. This man was getting clamped up by Toby Harris. You know, so who I know that he's probably, what, 3 or 4 inches taller than. He's probably about 20 to 30 pounds heavier than.
Nah, they're probably closer in weight. 6'9" to 7 foot.
That is like a big fat kid.
6'1" to 6'5". I can see like someone struggling, like the 6'1" guy guarding the 6'5" guy. Yeah, but at 6'8", 6'9", and you're guarding a 7 foot guy. The 7 foot guy is not that nimble. Cat's not nimble, and he's a good shooter, he's a streaky shooter. But he's not that hard to defend. He's not like. We saw that with the DeMarcus Cousins pitcher when he was standing there like this and he was like banging into him. He's never really been a big that played like a big down low. He plays like a two guard that's down low.
But Knicks got too much perimeter shooting for him to not play down there. That's the problem.
But then getting the ball on the block and just shoot your turnaround. Just shoot
well,
your
pull up. Well, he can't do that now because now he got 7-3 coming to his face. Pause. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
7-3 is coming at him now.
Oh, I'm I don't think I'm the worst.
And you might not even need Porzingis. You might put Horford on him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think Horford's going to drain him. And
he's
then that dude
eliminate
Cornette.
Him. He's going to wipe him out.
And then I remember think Cornette.
Wipe out. That's
then
what Cat is looking
for. But I think Boston, they'll sacrifice and put a big out there that doesn't score.
Luke Cornette or somebody like that.
Cornette catches the lobs. I'm talking about even going deeper than that. They'll put a guy out there. I'm like, yeah, just go out there and frustrate them for a couple of minutes while Porzingis and Horford get a breather. We're up 12. We're up 13 because, you know, Boston's going to do their thing. And we know Tibbs is going to run those guys to death. And the ball moves so much in Boston that the Tibbs way of defense, someone's going to have to tap him on the leg while he's on the sideline and be like, hey, man, this guy's going to be ineffective offensively because he's chasing
somebody
Pritchard.
Needs to be over there to tell
well,
him.
You got to make sure you figure out who's going to be our offensive sub. Like, who's going to be the guy that we put in when we need 8 points in the next couple of
games? They just need somebody to phone in and be like, hey, Tibbs, Josh Hart looked like he about to faint, bro.
Yeah, because that ball is going to move. Because Boston's second unit, because the starting unit, you know, Tatum's going to take his shots. Jaylen Brown's going to get to the free throw line, take his shots. Horford's going to take his corner threes.
White's going to get some open looks.
White's going to get some open looks, and Drew Holiday is going to facilitate a lot of that. So the ball is going to move, but it's not going to move with the same ferocity as it is when Pritchard, Hauser, Horford, Porzingis, and Derek White's in the game. That it's going to look like two different games. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum go to the bench. They're going to be just as effective moving that ball around. So New York is going to have to be able to counter. Like, listen, do I take Josh Hart or Mikal Bridges off the floor when Tatum comes off? Tillman. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, just put Tillman in. Just get a body. Get a body in there.
Hey, I'm watching this. There's
four
bro.
Shooters out there.
I'm watching this. If Draymond Green could get the 10 points, the Rockets in trouble.
Yeah, so, but yeah, like you said, pray for the Knicks. But so, like, so I felt like it was going to be Boston OKC. This is like for most of the season, I felt like it was going to be Boston OKC in the finals anyway. So a lot of this is just a formality for television purposes.
Here's a quick question for you: what the hell OKC and Cleveland been doing all week?
I hope they've been practicing like they had multiple games. Because I brought this up before, having when
shout out Florida, to JD
when Urban Meyer and the Florida Gators beat Ohio State in the national championship game, he said that every week they practice like they had a game on Saturday. Because this is back when it was like 50 days between the end of the season and the national championship game, which is mind blowing that it played out that way. Back then, and we were just cool with it. We were just cool with knowing who the national championship matchup was going to be Thanksgiving, and we were cool with it being after New Year's Day. Like, it just for uh-oh. Some reason, we were like, all right, we'll wait on this. Yeah. So
you crazy.
I hope they've been practicing. I think Cleveland has a tougher task.
Cleveland going down.
And like I said, you picked them to go down. I think Cleveland has a tougher task with Indiana than Boston has with the Knicks. The NBA is loving it because it's Boston versus the Knicks. You got the two of the biggest basketball markets going at it, especially considering you got – if you lose Steph, you're going to have to highlight SGA, Tatum, Brown, Ant. No one on the Clippers are all old heads.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell's you're gonna have to call Adidas. Like, yo, y'all need to put out a Donovan Mitchell commercial. I don't care what it is. You can cut clips from the games that we currently had in the playoffs. You need to get something in rotation to where Ant's Adidas guy. Who else is Adidas guy? Like I said, Donovan Mitchell's Adidas guy. Tatum's a Jordan guy. I think Jaylen Brown has like a Chinese company shoe deal. A lot of these other guys have their own independent, like an Anta or something like that. You're going to need to start putting these commercials out. That way people don't just forget about basketball, because it's going to be about another week of whose fault is it with LeBron in L.A.
Yes, sir. What up, sir? Cups.
What's going on, Cups? And you're going to run out of material. You're going to run out of stuff to say about whose fault it is in L.A. So you can't have this conversation with today's Friday. We're talking about the Lakers today. Our next show is Tuesday. The television media, they have shows every day throughout the playoffs. They can't talk about the Lakers from now until Tuesday, because I don't think we're going to have something about the Lakers.
I was listening to Kevin O'Connor yesterday of Yahoo. I was listening to his podcast yesterday, and he had the one and only Nick Wright on there. They talked about the Lakers for about 49 minutes, and he said, Kevin O'Connor, he said, "I'm sorry to everybody else out there. We'll talk about everybody else tomorrow because the Lakers lost, and this is a big story." And I was like, bro, you could have talked about the Lakers for 30 minutes and got 10 minutes in on something. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But anyway, enough of the Lakers. So if Houston wins tonight, how much, and this is just a random question, if Houston wins tonight, how much of 3-1 do you think goes through Steph's head?
Historically, I'm not sure of the math. That's a big story. I'm not sure of the math, but I don't recall a lot of closeout Steph Curry moments. I know a lot of series where he took over.
I know games Olympics play.
I know the Olympics. I like the way he closed out the Olympics. I think that was dynamic. I haven't seen that performance in an NBA.
That MCL strain, man.
Hey, LeBron was like, listen, I heard.
He ran into White Dante, man. White Dante could be a running back.
Yo, LeBron's like, listen, man, I'm going to Mexico. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to South to France.
Yeah.
The knee will be fine on the private jet. So, you know, I just think that Curry hasn't gone crazy in the game seven. As Mike's saying, he will go crazy.
He went crazy the last game seven. The last game when they played Sacramento, I think he put up 51.
Okay,
but that, like, was, I said, that was when Draymond stomped on
Demonis. Was that was that the game? That was the series.
It was that series. Yeah.
Okay. So, but like I said, it doesn't happen enough to where I expect that to be the case, because we talked about game seven, the 3-1 with Cleveland back in the day. They only scored 89 points that game.
That might be what they scored in game seven against Houston, too, because Houston's going to lock them up. I mean, Steph might get 30, but ain't nobody else unless Jimmy shows up.
So that's what I mean. And it's at home. Granted, first round.
Rockets up 9 right now.
It has to loom. It has to loom in your mind, considering that they pulled everybody in the third quarter of game 5.
Yeah, what do you think about that before we move on? Because, I mean, they're an older team, you know, as far as Steph and Jimmy's been hurt. Draymond's a little – like, do you just be like, we got them, guys. We're going back home. Or, you know, or like – because I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I say at least play the third quarter. And then if we're still down this much at the start of the fourth, okay, we'll pull the plug. Yeah. But, nah.
But I think if you leave them in there, then the grind and trying to get back – yeah, you said so. Mike said he had 37 in game seven. Like I said, I don't doubt that he can perform, because I think he's a dynamic player. It's just that we rarely think about Steph and elimination games going hand in hand. We hear Kobe, you have obviously LeBron stats, Jordan. I would be worried if I go back for a game seven, considering it's on the road. And, you know, you got a team that was down 3-1 that forces a game seven, and they're at home and they're young. They don't have a memory of blowing a 3-1.
Tired. The Warriors are tired. You know what I mean? Like, these young boys been running up and down the court on them, you know, and we talked about this. Like, I know you picked the Rockets in 5, because you thought the same type of thing. I picked Golden State. Houston is seven. But like the thing about it for me was Houston should have won this series already. They missed 14 free throws in game three. Şengün missed the game winning shot in another game. You know, so like,
yeah, Houston's he was very timid in one game when they were like leaving him open at the free throw line. It's like, that's your shot.
Yeah. So, and I think a coach like Ime, you know, and you know what I'm about to say, and I hate that I always say this, but it's just the fucking truth. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to depend on the refs. You know, are they going to let them play? Are they going to call everything? Like, so far, the refs in this series, I've been impressed that they've been letting them play, which favors the Rockets because the Rockets are able to claw, grab.
Ironically, the refs have fucked up the end of games in this overall playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they've been butchering the end of games with reversals and stuff like that. Jalen
Green just played his way out of Houston. Reed Shepherd starting next year. Unless he gets traded for Giannis.
Man, Reed Shepherd ain't playing. They keep talking that he's the most impressive offensive player. Cool.
We'll see. He had a 49-point G-League game. Like, you know, I'm tired of y'all taking all these pot shots at my Wildcats. You know what I'm saying? But anyway.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think pulling everybody game five, I will say it comes back to haunt them if they lose the series.
Well, the difference is Van Vliet has just waking up. Like, the first three games of this series, he was nowhere to be found. And, I mean, he found that three-point shot these last couple of games. So, Jalen Green, you know, ain't
doing it. And that's what we said. And that's what we were talking about. Like, it's difficult to beat a team four times in 7 days because people find out, like, oh, like I say with, like, in lacrosse when I'm watching my son play. Like, I watch the other team, and, like, some of the moms, like, look at me, like, who's going to be the kid that you call out today? And I'll look and say, like, you can see who's not – who can't win their defensive matchup over the course of, you know, this, all these games, because at a minimum you're playing at least four games.
Right.
So you get a lot of information when Dylan Brooks is matched up against Jimmy Butler, or if Kuminga, if he really can guard Jalen Green, you find out in the first couple of games and you can exploit that. And you can find out early, like, okay, this guy, we can leave him open. Or this guy, we can rattle him with this. Or we can, you know,
see, Van blitz just hit a three right when I said that.
Yeah, so we can blitz this pick and roll, because when this guy has the ball in his hand, he, you know, three times out of ten makes the bad decision or bad pass. So you get all these tendencies in a couple of games, and that's why, like, you know, these series kind of can change over.
You know, Steph be sad. He be trying to pull up, and he see Dylan Brooks. He be like, not you again, dog. You? You know what I'm saying? So, but, hey, you know, we were talking the other day. This year so far, you know, I guess yesterday was the deadline. So there was 105 upperclassmen, college basketball players, that have declared for the NBA draft. That is the lowest number since 2015. So I was going to ask Mr. Logical, with NIL, the portal, all that good stuff, is this the new normal?
Yes.
And that number is going to keep declining.
It's the new normal. And if I was able to advise a young basketball player in college who is a freshman, and maybe you were highly recruited, you got a decent NIL deal. Granted, these guys getting $7-8 million NIL deals, more than likely they're going to go to the NBA as lottery picks and get decent deals. Maybe even they have, because like Cooper Flagg already has a New Balance deal, you know, so he already has a shoe deal.
That's some white boy shit right there.
Him, Kawhi, Cameron Brink, Tyrese Maxey.
Steph is
Under Armour. Okay. Yeah, stuff's the one Under Armour.
Shout out to, like, Maryland, you know what I'm saying, Under Armour headquarters.
So I think the college basketball landscape is going to stay this way because, like, I'm looking at it now. So estimated average NIL deal for top 25 college basketball players. The elite players, top 5 to 10, is like $500,000 to $2 million. right?
Okay.
Those are like your star players at your blue blood schools, like Duke, Kentucky, schools like that. Your mid-tier guys, anywhere from 200 to $750,000.
Okay.
So that's your the Clayton that went down to Florida. He got $1 million. He got a couple million, right?
I'm sure he did.
He and you, you're the college sports guy. How do you think he transitions as an NBA prospect?
Oh, I think he's going to be Jamal Murray 2.0.
Okay. Did you think that before he won the national championship this year?
I thought that about midway through the season this year.
Because, this season, but like yeah, before yeah. he got his NIL
at,
money.
Yeah, before he was at Iona. So
yeah.
he wasn't so on TV.
He from Iona declaring for the draft, you're probably just basically locking yourself into the second round. But you go to Florida, you get a couple mil, and then now you can either graduate and maybe transfer again or come back for another $2 million. The kid, like the kid from BYU, got $8 million. But if he plays out the way that that $8 million NIL deal plays out, he'll still be a top three pick. Whereas, give me a guy like the guy Sears that went to Alabama.
Yeah, Mark
Sears. I'm not sure if he is an NBA first round guy, but North Carolina will pay him $2 million to come play there for next year. You know, see what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah.
I think a lot of these guys will be able to say, I'm a second round talent once I'm evaluated by NBA scouts because right. I'm only 6'2.5", I'm only 6'3", or I don't have a leaping ability. But I'm a college $2.3 million guy for 1 year. So I think more guys are starting to take that fact. And like I said, if I was advising a young guy, I'm like, yo, if you think you're going to be a second round pick, but you don't mind transferring, then I would just keep going to school, graduate, and get your money. Because it's still basketball, and the money is better. So,
And that's the thing, right? Because the thing that makes me happy about NIL in this conversation, because I know there's still a lot of people out there that don't like it, but the reason that I love it, just bear with me for a second. So I'm sure you remember Kobe, Dwight Howard, T-Mac, Kevin Garnett. I'm sure you remember those names.
Correct.
Maybe you even remember Darius Bazley. Maybe you remember Jonathan Bender. Not a lot of people remember Corleone Young. Not a lot of people remember James Lang or Usman Cisse. Because those guys did the same thing that Kobe and those guys that I mentioned before did. And now they're nowhere to be found. And they didn't have the NIL to fall back on. Or like anything like that. So they were good enough, according to those to people in the know, to just go straight to the NBA. And it didn't work out. So yeah. Now you provide that buffer because I don't like the fact that they took the one and done away. Because, you know, America, right? You got the right to do XYZ. So if a guy wants to go from high school to the NBA, let him. That's his life. That's his decision.
Yeah,
but now you can bring that back because now Al Harrington is another one. You have that buffer now of you have a reason for a kid to go to college now. You know what I mean? And you can lessen some of those type of stories. Let me tell you about another guy. You know I love Kentucky. Let me tell you about Daniel Orton. Let me tell you about Daniel Orton. Do you know who Daniel Orton is?
I cannot recall, no.
Daniel Orton was DeMarcus Cousins' backup at Kentucky. You know, he was a freshman just like DeMarcus Cousins. He finished that year 3.4 points, 3.3 rebounds, and was drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. That was the night that I lost respect for Calipari because 5 UK players went in the first round, and he said, this is the greatest night in Kentucky history. And I said, bitch, go win a title. You just lost with this same team. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. Yeah. But what about Shabazz Muhammad? You know what I'm saying? He could have stayed in college another year if there was some NIL. You know, yeah. And I go back to the days of people like Felipe Lopez, you know, that had New York City on lock, you know, went to St. John's and was supposed to take off, went to
Sebastian
the NBA.
Telfair. I think he would have gotten – I think his – like I said – right now, if his body goes back to he's 18 and he's available this summer to go to the NBA draft or college at what, 6'1", 6'2", we're stretching it. I think he easy gets called by Cal, who just lost Stojakovic's kid. Like, listen, yeah, we'll give you $2.5 million to come here. And you can put up all the shots you want. You can average 25 points. We're going to pay you. You're going to live here. You know, so, or you can go to the NBA, play.
Ooh, that's a name.
Play 82 games versus best case scenario in the college, you're playing 40. If you make it all the way to the final four,
40 is the max. Yeah.
You're about 40 games.
Yeah.
So I can play 20 something home games because I'm the top school. I'm Kentucky. Kentucky's not playing that many real games. They play a lot of games where the small school comes to them. You're a big man on campus. You're getting paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And based off the draft, it's not a lot of guys that are drafted around 6 foot that get a lot of burn. Like Dillingham got drafted. I think they listed him at 5'11 or 6 foot. He will be replaced by a guy that's 6'5 that can give you a little bit more defensively in the NBA.
Right.
Because it's not a lot of 5'11 guys that have the green light. Trae Young, Dame, Steph, Kyrie, they're probably the smaller guards that have green lights. It's not a lot of Jalen Brunson. There's not a lot of guards that get that green light. So you got to work your way into that position. But meanwhile, you're on a team with Ant. He has all the green lights. But it's like, okay, cool. I can go to North Carolina State and play there. So I think a lot of NBA, I think if you're a second round guy, but you have enough personality where you can, you know, get you $1.2 million to go to another college, do that, finish up school, do your homework, get your degree, be a graduate student, start working on your master's, and leave college with about $6 million in life earnings.
And you can sit in your room.
23 years old.
And you could sit in your room and watch Golden State losing by 17 to the Rockets because Steve Kerr wouldn't play you anyway.
And that's another thing. The NBA head coaches are all – head coaches are all older guys, and they're looking at, like, I need experience on the floor. It's like you don't get experience from the bench.
Right.
Like, I work in a flying squadron. When we get new pilots in, they don't sit in the back while the experienced pilots fly and just ask questions. They sit in the right seat, and the experienced pilot sits in the left seat, and they say, hey, you got the stick. What you doing?
I would get why you – I get why you would want to maybe sit a quarterback, right? You know, game speed, like just watch for a second and process what's happening. But in basketball, that's not it. It's just put the ball in the hoop. Don't let him put the ball in the hoop.
You know, your backup quarterback can stand 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage and watch the play and have the offensive coordinator or passing game coordinator standing next to him in practice explaining why this is why Tua threw that route in this coverage. So in this coverage, this is because it's very like guys
looked like he was wide open, but you didn't see the spy.
You didn't see this guy. So this pass got deflected because in this fire zone, this guy comes on the blitz, this guy drops here. So all that information can be processed without him making a single mistake. On a basketball court, I got to put – because athleticism on a basketball court is your advantage. Yes, having understanding of the game and everything else. But like Coach Carter said, what did I teach y'all to do? Run.
Yeah.
What do you think I want you to do?
Yeah.
Run. You can do that and win.
Yeah, I think that next year, Steve Kerr's last year, I know he signed that 2-year, $35 million extension, which was like the highest for a coach in NBA history. So I think
I can see him rethinking some things. I know he had the health issues, you know, dating back the last few years. I can see him rethinking, like, you know what? Especially if they lose this series.
Well, I think I would like to see Steve Kerr with another team. Like, I think, like, it's just time to, like, because, I mean, look, Steph is, what, 36 now? Something along those lines. So, I mean, at most, what? You got 3 years, maybe? you know, of Steph, but probably maybe one more of Steph as we know him. So, like, just walk out the door together. You know, say, not saying that Steph needs to retire or anything, but just close that chapter together.
Like I said, so people are posting on social media, all the guys that are leaving. You know, all the NBA legends that are leaving. If I'm a college basketball player, I'm going to let them all go. Because, like, you and I joined the military in 2000, right?
Yeah.
I got an enlistment bonus, an initial enlistment bonus. So when I got to my shop, people had never heard of it. Like, you got what? You didn't even do anything. Well, the military was at war. You know, the United States was at war in the early 90s. They ramped it all the way up. Then we had the post-Cold War stuff. They're figuring it out. They kind of got that deal squared away. So they're like, yeah, we don't need all these people. So then from like 95, because my dad retired in 95, it was like they were offering early retirement. So yeah. A lot of people took it. So then after a few years, it was like, oh, we don't have enough people. So now if I'm a college player, I'm like, all right, cool. Now you don't have enough stars. You don't have KD. How many years he has left? One, two as KD. Devin Booker's going to have some years left, but he's not drawing a crowd. He's not, like, in that sense. Draymond has a couple years left. All your championship teams, OKC might be on their run. And then you'll still have a little bit of Boston. But for the most part, LeBron's going to be gone within the next couple of years. Luka's going to be a couple years older. Now, Cooper Flagg is coming into the league. Now you can be that guy that's like, hey, we need some new blood in this. And now you just spent 3 years in college, got better, collected about $3.5 to $6 million. Boom. Now I'm a top 10 pick and I'm getting some playing time. Because a lot of these guys get drafted top 10 and don't get to play.
Reed Shepard. And speaking of which, you know, shout out to Anthony Edwards. You know, three of his last four playoff series, he swept Kevin Durant. He won a game 7 on Jokic's floor. And then he just beat LeBron and Luka on the same team.
He was trying to bully LeBron the whole time.
You know, like, look.
Yeah, so he took on the challenge.
I would like to see Steph, Kerr, and Draymond just walk out the door. Like, next year, you know, finish out Kerr's contract, bounce. You know what I'm saying? Just, this is the end of the Warriors now. You know what I mean?
And then you're going to have to start replacing the coaches because what you need – because before, like we talk about this before, you know, with football, the Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, they got drafted the same year and they both started and they both got success immediately. So after that, it started to be more prevalent for teams to draft a first round quarterback and start them. I think Matthew Stafford went the next year. I believe Sam Bradford went when that same mix. And it was like because Flacco and Ryan had success. So now you're going to start getting new NBA coaches, younger coaches, a lot of guys maybe under Mark Dagnall's coaching tree, maybe some guys under, what's the boy name, Brad Stevens in Boston, maybe some guys out of that group start getting jobs, 37, 38-year-old coaches start getting jobs, and they're going to be like, you know what? I want to play these young guys. I want to be able to rotate 10 guys in April in the playoffs. I want 10 guys that understand that I believe in their confidence and I'm going to use that to my best of my ability. You're going to get that if you spend 3 years in college, especially if you're getting paid for it. Even if you're only getting like 50 or 60 grand, that's still enough for you to keep developing. And then maybe you play 2 years. Like I said, you go to Iona and then all of a sudden you want to come home to Florida. Florida's like, yo, we got a check waiting on if you want to come down here. And then you go down there, win a national championship.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what I was going to bring up in closing. You know, Greg Popovich, you know, officially stepping down as head coach, but it sounds like he's going to move up to the front office.
That's just so they can keep paying him.
Right. So
they can justify the check he got left, like Bruce Arians.
So far, the early word sounds as if they're just going to keep their interim coach. But I was thinking, like, hey, Budenholzer is a Popovich guy. You know, Mike Brown's a Popovich guy. And then I'm happy he's healthy too. And then there's all these rumors that the Spurs could get Giannis.
That's just too many arms for its length in one. Hey, in we got
and arms longer than Pippen's. What is it? Get money longer than Pippen's arms.
Pippen's arms. Yeah, that's just, money longer than Wimby arms, and then guns longer than Giannis arms. Like, that's just too much.
I was trying to figure that out.
I can see Giannis, because I don't know Giannis. There's no. I don't think he makes a team a championship contender, because we saw that with Milwaukee. Like, you know, he needs help.
Like, what does that trade look like, though?
The trade is going to be some ridiculous. Someone's going to get gutted like a fish in order to make it happen.
I'm thinking Castle. Like,
I saw one, and I think, I don't know if you shared it in the group or somebody else did, but I didn't even pay full attention, so I just laughed at it. It was like four teams. Somebody was, I think Thompson, they would have like Jalen Green and Thompson going somewhere, and then Şengün and somebody else going to some other team, and then OKC was moving a couple of players. I'm like, ain't no way in hell none of that happened.
Well, let's individualize it for a second, right? So if you're Houston, right, maybe Jalen Green and one of Jabari Smith.
Milwaukee's gonna want your kidneys to give you Giannis in a trade.
I know, that's what I'm trying to say. And then you still probably got to give up like two draft picks too. And then Spurs, you probably got to give up.
Milwaukee's gonna want five players. They're gonna want a bigger deal than what Gobert went for.
If it's the Spurs, you got to come off Castle.
You're not getting a Luka deal.
One of Vassell or Sochan. You know what I mean? Maybe Trey Jones or somebody like that as a filler, and then probably three first round picks.
Yeah, like I said, even though the Lakers lost their series and Nico Harrison starts, it seems like, oh, he was a prophet. No, he still has to rebuild that team.
He was a prophet.
And Kyrie's not coming back.
Nico was right, damn it.
So that's still the wrong trade. Yeah, we got to –
And think about it like this. They allegedly, they called Milwaukee. You know what I mean?
But, like, yeah, you're not going to get Giannis, if you're calling Milwaukee, they're not going to give you the deal that Dallas took. See what I'm saying? If I'm Milwaukee, I'm Milwaukee starting with the Gobert deal, because I think Gobert was – It was like four first round picks and like five players or something like that. It was nine.
Well, that's because they had to get the money to match. So they had to get the money to match. That's why.
Yeah. So I think Giannis is making a lot of money. I think he's making the same amount, maybe more money than Gobert without doing the research. But I believe that's the same way.
Probably got to throw Vassell in there because he's probably the highest paid player on the Spurs right now. Castle's still on the rookie deal, but you want him just because of the potential. Like, I'm giving you Giannis. You got to give me the rookie of the year, you know? So, I mean, that makes sense.
And if you're San Antonio, it was like, why do I want to go this old?
I thought about that. Not necessarily LeBron to Dallas, but I thought about LeBron not being a Laker next year. The only tricky part is paper towels there.
I think LeBron's a Laker. Or he retired. I don't think he retires. I think he's a Laker. I think he's a Laker because it's like, what's he going to do? Go to another team for 1 year or 2 years and try to chase a championship at 40? You really think that's like...
You forget what team is 30 miles from where he grew up?
Man, he's not going back to Cleveland.
Go finish your career there?
He's not going to do the Kevin Garnett tour.
I think he might. You know, I think he might.
Look, like I said, I admire LeBron's career 100%. I see Vegas as an owner. I think that's the next team that LeBron associates himself with, the team that goes to Vegas as an owner. I don't think he leaves LA, because I think he can make those moves living in LA. I think he can make that. He can get that, raise that capital. Oh, man, being in LA, in
2 hours from anywhere in this country.
Understandable, but it's like, the brand, just being in LA, having everything, just Cali, it just makes more sense.
Maybe, but he is the brand.
Maybe if he goes to Phoenix, because
he is the brand. LeBron can make you care about Montpelier, Vermont.
Yeah, I just don't see the move because there's, I don't think there's any place he can go in 1 year and win the championship next year. So why would you go just to play some other place and then do your retirement tour in a Dallas jersey? Like, that just doesn't make any sense. It looked like Patrick Ewing when he went to the Magic.
I could definitely see LeBron wanting,
not performance wise, but world. I think the Laker retirement tour resonates more at the end of the career.
I think he definitely wants the world to fawn over him.
Post 40 ring chase. I think that would have more of a cachet. I think that would appeal more to him. Like I said, I don't want to speak for him, but just as a person who's kind of watched him, you know, he's carefully manicured and cultivated his career. I don't see him going out throwing a Hail Mary in the fourth quarter of his career like that. I just don't see it.
I know. Patrick with Orlando. There was what? Olajuwon with Toronto.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not talking about performance. I'm just talking about, like, if you're doing your, like, imagine if Kobe would have got that Chicago, like, they would have done the Chicago thing late. And now Kobe's in a Bulls jersey retiring. You're like, it doesn't even make any sense.
That's why I said that I want Steph to walk out the door, because I don't want to see Steph. I mean, I don't want to see him playing for the Hornets.
Playing for his hometown Hornets.
Yeah.
Like when Tony Parker went to the Hornets. Like it didn't make any sense.
You know what that was? That was Gangsters Don't Die. They just get chubby and move to Miami. That's what that was.
So
D-Wade with the Bulls is another good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that retirement, but he went back to Miami to do his retirement.
Yeah.
But his retirement tour was in Miami. So him playing on the Bulls was one thing, but him, if he would have left and gone to Chicago
with Kansas City,
Jason, but he made a couple of playoff runs in Kansas City.
I know, but still.
But he didn't leave. Like I said, right now, it's like, let me think, who's in the NFL? Like, it's like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers making this playoff run with the Jets, you know, the last couple of years, or, you know, making that attempt because they have a good defense, and then him going to the Steelers. Like, what if he says, I'm going to Steelers, this could be my last year? Now you got a bunch of pictures of Aaron Rodgers shaking hands with people, waving to the crowd in the Steelers uniform for his retirement tour.
Top of his pizza and not in the pizza.
You know what I'm saying, like, it doesn't make any sense. And I think these guys, they have a certain level of ego and confidence and cachet. I'm pretty sure they wanted to go on their own terms.
You know what I'm saying, Mr. Logical. I got great news.
Let's hear it.
We got a second game 7, baby.
Finished up.
We got 8 seconds left. Oh yeah, there it is. It's over now. Yeah, 115-107, the Rockets, game 7 in H-Town. You know what I'm saying? You got game 7 tomorrow up in Denver, 52-80. You know what I'm saying? Look, man, I am here for it. I am here for it. You know, I think Pacers and Cavs are going 7. I think that's the only one.
Yeah, I think OKC sweeps.
I think they beat Denver in 5. They beat the Clippers in 6.
They beat the Clippers in 4. They beat Denver in 5.
And then I think Minnesota beats Golden State in
5.
And then I think Minnesota beats Houston in
5.
No, I think that goes 7.
I would have to see the matchup. I'd have to see how they defend, how Houston defends the 3-point line against Minnesota.
I just don't know if Golden
State can defend the 3-point line against Minnesota. So I think
if Van Vliet can keep up what he's doing right now. And Jalen Green has made it known that outside of that game where he tried to match his girlfriend's age, he's not going to show up. Then, you know, Dylan Brooks, like, Oh, that would be interesting. Dylan Brooks and Ant. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
That'd be fun. You know, they had some little smoke earlier this year. That'd be kind of cool. You know, like these Canadians be out of control sometimes.
Yeah, you got to line them up. Gotta
you know what I'm saying? Know. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, man, like, you know, we got somebody can bleed in the family, Crotty. No, just is what it is. But
with the 29 piece.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he can sustain this. I mean, he's done it for the last three or four games now, but you know, but the way he started the series, I think he's somewhere in the middle, right? He got to come back to the main at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think Draymond with his triple single again.
Yeah, how many minutes did my guy play tonight? Let's see.
Who was that?
Jabari. See, 18 minutes. Jabari Smith. But Steven Adams. I'm going under two. If Houston wins this series and goes against Minnesota, the key might be how much can Steven Adams play?
Well, as long as I think because Gobert, like you said, Gobert had, what, 14 total points in four games and 25 rebounds. I think those two, I won't say they cancel each other out, but I think as a coach, I trust Steven Adams against Rudy Gobert. And if I'm the Minnesota coach, I trust Rudy Gobert to be on the floor with Steven Adams and for both of, for them to be effective. Both coaches should feel like both these guys should be effective. And you don't need to make any major moves. Like, listen, you need size and rebounding. You need speed, shooting, size, rebounding in an NBA game.
Yeah.
So taking off your size and your rebounding because the other team is a little faster doesn't make any sense to me.
Wilt Gobert. You know,
27 to 24 is crazy, though.
You know, but I'm here for it because, you know, like Adams and Şengün together, you know, Gobert can't stick with both of them. You know what I mean? Not that Steven Adams is that big of a scoring threat, but just on the boards, I'm meaning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you keep the big bodies in there. And if you defend the three well, because I think a lot of teams, when they see this, the other teams go small ball, it's like, you know, sometimes big beats small.
Yeah.
So now when they go small ball, just work your bigs on the offensive end. As long as you're not going 3 for 2, even if you're taking a lot of threes, you got two bigs down there that can rebound. So eventually they're going to have to switch it up. Because I heard one time, like, I think it was like a youth basketball game my son was playing, and the other team only had four kids. My son just finished playing his game, and then asked the coach, like, hey, can we, you know, let this guy play because we only have four kids. The other kids, mm-hmm. like, on punishment. They were in, like, fourth or fifth grade. So they were playing the game, and my son was grabbing all the rebounds. So after the first, it was like two halves. So they're playing. So like halfway through the first half, there was an adult coach coaching some youth teams. And then it was like some teenage kids that are volunteering to coach this other team.
Right.
So the coach came over and was like, hey, is your actual fifth player going to show up? And they were like, his mom just texted me and said he didn't do his homework. So he can't come to the game. And I'm doing the scores table. I'm like, he's like, damn, that kid that's not on the team is actually getting all the damn rebounds. So he's like, well, we'll just play 4-on-4. Swear to God, he's just like, we'll just play 4-on-4. Yeah. He's like, the kids still want to play, you know. So we'll just play 4. I'm like, it's the same level. It wasn't like my son was playing down. It's just like the next team in the fourth grade thing. Their game was at 8:30. His game was at 7:30. Other game was at 8:30. It wasn't like he was playing with like third graders. He was playing with other kids in his class. But he just was getting all the rebounds. So the dude was like, hey, is that other kid going to show up? I was like, he was like, yeah, his mom texted me, man. He didn't do his homework, so he can't come tonight. And he was like, okay. He was like, I'll talk to my kids and see what they want to do. And he basically told them that they can play 4-on-4 if they want it. They weren't even thinking about it. They were just playing basketball. And they were like, okay, I guess so. So then, like, yeah, my son had to come off the floor because the big was getting the rebounds.
That's hilarious.
I was like, and I looked at the dude, I'm like, are you serious, B? These are 9-year-olds. 9 and 10 year olds. Yeah, it's nuts.
That's hilarious. But hey, we will be back on Tuesday, you know what I'm saying, getting ready, you know, all these new game ones getting underway and all that kind of stuff. Happy about it. The NBA postseason has been fun, you know, like they're actually letting the players play, yeah. You know. So,
I like that
you know,
part.
Yeah, all these new school kids, you know, this is what some of the 90s basketball could look like if we did this yeah. regularly, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. So he is the world-renowned, the world-famous, the Mr. Do Not Bring Feelings to a Fact Fight.
Don't do it.
He is Mr. Logical. Jersey's in the building. Big Jersey.
You're
live from the Alamo. I am 2-5. Yes, I believe in Joe Hendry. Yes, I do all the free things for you. I do all the good things for you. So do them for us. Like, review, subscribe, share, rate. Do all that stuff. We love you.
Drink your liquid death.
Yes, sir. Check out the One Mic Podcast. Mondays and Thursdays at noon. Check out the Hot Box Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Cups in the Gang.
Solutions
might
over
excuses.
Might
even see me on there sometimes. You know, and 7 o'clock Eastern. Check out The Pursuit of Forever, our guy El Residente and his lovely wife Toya, you know, giving out relationship advice and all that every other Wednesday, 6:30 Eastern. Holla back. We see you in a few days. Enjoy the sports. Peace. Love.